We're talking with Jimmy Kinder, one of the delegates for Oklahoma Farm Bureau at this year's 2020 American Farm Bureau Convention. Delegate session has just wrapped up. Jimmy, you know, give us maybe a little bit of a feel of what you and the other delegates were dealing with here today at the convention.
Well, thank you, Ron. We had a task this morning, started early, and we had 400 pages of single-space resolutions to look at, and we went from one issue to the other and actually covered everything that anybody would want to know about agriculture, from, artichokes to zucchinis. We covered it all, I think. Some of the things that stand out to me is that we wrote quite a bit of policy on the marketing of fate meats or proteins, and the wish that we wanted to have USDA regulate that industry. We spent quite a bit of time on that section on how we might be able to educate the consumer on what was actually in their basket. And so we talked about that. Also new to kind of not new, I guess a lot of new policies been developed and expanded on was our hemp policy. Part of that's because of some of Oklahoma Farm Bureau's desire to do so and to help producers that are being very heavily regulated, help steer through all the regulations that they may be dealing with, and to help banks to be able to help those hemp producers that might be out there to go forward, and also just trying to talk about nuts and bolts of how you collect samples and how those samples should be processed and how the whole industry should be going forward. Some other things that we talked about, we spent a lot of time on country of origin labeling. In the end, we did not change our language. FBF did not change your language, and we're still for a voluntary, cool process. But we talked quite a bit about the advantages and disadvantages of going to a mandatory system. Worries about WTO and others kind of prevailed on that issue. And so we are still feel free for meat packagers to put, you know, Made in America on there. But we just wanted to make sure that was voluntary rather than mandatory.
On that, Jimmy, I understand what the Texas Farm Bureau has changed their policy. They're now in favor of mandatory cool.
Yes, they were taking the lead on that. They were the ones in the room that were most vocal about trying to make cool mandatory. There were probably some others in the room, but it was overwhelmingly refuted that did not want that. I think people were understanding that we'd had cool before. It really didn't move the dial a whole lot on the economics. There's a study out that was talked about that Kansas State had done previously when we had country of origin labeling. It really didn't change affect the price that well. And then, of course, we had the $1 billion price tag that the WTO wanted to fine us if we continued down that road. And so we were afraid of who might have to provide that money with the expensive. And so, yes, they were the most vocal in the room that today.
I know that you also, some of the things you were talking about included what, vultures and wild hogs, feral hogs.
Yeah, so basically we wanted to make it easier for to get depredation permits for these producers out there, and we wanted to make states being able to actually assign those off without getting a lot of federal involvement. So we were trying to make it easier for that to happen. And I think that was kind of what came through. On the feral hogs, we're taking after them, and we just want very robust policy, as robust as we can get, about how to control them. We continue to want to funnel money toward. Some people use the word eradication. Some other people, smarter people, probably would use the word control, that we would have to help take care of that population. Farm bill, we didn't do a whole lot of changes on the farm bill. We did talk about the market facilitation program. quite a bit, and we would like to see that program, if it's done again, to be based on the actual crops grown rather than a county average, and we just thought that might be a fair way to do it.
So as far as some of the priorities for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, you feel like you got your concerns listened to and in some cases adopted?
Yes, we had several policies that we've already talked about that were actually Oklahoma Farm Bureau policies we were able to get through. We had a rural broadband initiative to rural areas, and that was a pretty easy sell to most everyone that wanted to make sure that try to give some maybe incentives for the entities that are actually developing broadband to actually come out into the communities that are underserved. And so we were looking for realistic ways of doing that. Some other things that we also talked about, I guess, is relaxing, you know, farmers with CDL requirements, and we're always wanting to see that, some relaxing of that, and especially with the driving time when we have these perishable commodities or cattle or sheep or pigs, be able to get them on down the road when we need to. And we were kind of doing some of that, just trying to relax and make things a little bit easier regulatory-wise with farmers. We did re-elect Zippy Duvall as president, and Scott Vanderwalls, our vice president. That was expected. And Zippy's wife, Bonnie, had passed away right at convention and was not able to be at convention. But with his leadership and what he's been able to do for American Farm Bureau and farmers across the nation, we gave him a vote of support to come back, and he was agreed to that. And but our hearts and prayers were with him and his family. They would find some comfort in that loss with Bonnie. She was well loved and respected in Farm Bureau circles and others.
Thanks, Jimmy. Jimmy Kinder, one of the delegates at this year's American Farm Bureau Convention in Austin. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.